Some years ago, I heard an older preacher say that the work of a gospel minister goes with people to the highest peaks and the lowest valleys in life. I think I came to realize that more yesterday than I ever have in my entire life. At 3 o'clock, with the help of Lance Beshears, we baptized a man into Christ at Veterans Home in Humboldt, a man above 80. At 4 o'clock, I walked into the room of the Sweeneys and talked with Janet, with David sitting on one side and the newborn baby on the other side. And at 5 o'clock, I stood by as the doctor laid the lifeless body of 9-month-old Addison Hensley in her mother's arms and removed the life support that had kept her alive since the wreck at 11. Truly, as ministers, we go to the top peaks and we go to the valleys. And when I got home last night, I thought about the lesson that I had already prepared for this morning. And I think it took on an added meaning. I want us to talk for a few minutes this morning about our attitude toward material things. And I'm not talking so much about our contribution, whether or not we're meeting our budget, specifically what anybody gives or doesn't give. I'm talking about attitudes toward material things. The older I get and the more I preach, the more I'm convinced that even we preachers have a tendency to treat the symptoms instead of the disease. And I think many times we don't get back to where the problem really is and where we really need to talk about things, especially in dealing with material matters. I evidently gave Alan Clark the wrong passage this morning. He read from 1 Corinthians 6, 6 through 10. I want us to now read from 1 Timothy 6, 6 through 10. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. In Matthew, the 6th chapter, verse 24, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And in the 6th chapter, verses 19 through 21, just before that, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither the moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I believe that we would do no damage to the passage if we turn those words around in that 21st verse. The Bible says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And read it, where your heart is, there your treasure will be also. I have believed for a long time, and I have expressed to you on more than one occasion, that the most important point in dealing with our being able to carry out our work and meet our challenges and meet our needs is not expressed so much in a figure as it is expressed in an attitude. I am totally convinced that if we can get all of us in the church to put material matters in proper focus and have the right attitude toward material things, especially money matters, that many of these other challenges will fit into place and the things that we have planned will be done without question. Some people have allowed money and material things to become a master. And I think if we're not careful, that all of us can lean in that direction to some degree without realizing that it is happening. The God of Mammon is mentioned in Matthew 6:24, and that God is defined as the God of money, Mammon being the God of money, the God of material things. As you stop and think about yourself, and especially as you observe your friends and acquaintances, and even observe society in general, have we not allowed ourselves, particularly in this country, to let material things become our master instead of our servant? I believe that that is the case in many instances. Money is not said to be the root of all evil. Sometimes people misread what the Bible says on that subject. Money or some kind of a medium of exchange is necessary. Money in and of itself is not evil. Material things in and of themselves are not evil. But notice he says it is the attitude toward these things. It is the love of, which might be expressed by a word, greed. This may be one of our biggest problems in the country, and it has its effect in the church. I'm sure there's probably not a one of us here this morning who would admit to having a problem with greed. And yet I'm persuaded that if we could hear God's description of our lives and our minds and our attitudes, that we might very well hear that word said. The attitude that we have toward material things is going to affect all aspects of life. Because if we are tied to the gaining of material things, we may not be able to put life itself in focus and emphasize those things that are more important than money matters. The attitude that we take toward material things is going to color our lives. How many times have you heard it said, "Oh, it won't make any difference 100 years from now"? You know, there's a lot of truth in that when you stop and think about it. What you and I did this past week relative to material things won't really make any difference 100 years from now, because that piece of property that has your name on it 100 years from now will have somebody else's name if this earth continues. Every dollar that you have saved will be in somebody else's possession 100 years from now. Those items that may have even become antiques and are very important to you in a special way will be in the possession of somebody else 100 years from now, and somebody else will be making the decision whether or not to keep or to get rid or whether it's worth anything or not. Truly, nothing that has to do with money matters and material things will make a bit of difference 100 years from now. And the sad thing about it is that when we have the wrong attitude toward material things, We allow that to take our thoughts and occupy our time and efforts and talents to take them away sometimes from the things that do really matter, to where we serve the God of Mammon more than we serve the God of heaven. You see, there are many decisions that each individual will have to make in life relative to material things. There are some decisions that have to be made as to how we will obtain that which is necessary to sustain life and to give us what we need and sometimes, in addition, what we think we want relative to material things. Most of us have made the decision to earn a living in an honest way, and that's the way God wants it to be. One is to work, laboring with his hands, that he may be able to have that which he can use to take care of his needs and especially to give to others who have need. Ephesians 4, verse 28. As early as Genesis 3:19, God set up the principle that man should earn his living by the sweat of his brow, which is best described by the four-letter word, W-O-R-K. And the New Testament sets up the principle in the book of 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 10, that if a man will not work, that he shouldn't even be allowed to eat. God has placed a premium on work. He has placed his blessings on the idea of earning that which we need to sustain life. That's the way God wants it to be. It is true that it is sometimes impossible for a person to earn a living. And God has made provisions for that, with the fact that the poor we have with us always, and the guidelines given that we are to take care of those that are in need, especially those in our own families, 1 Timothy 5:8, and then as the work of the church for those who do not have families that will care for them, later on in 1 Timothy chapter 5. We recognize that there are those who cannot, and God expects us to take care of them. But folks, our biggest problem, in my opinion, in our society today is not those who cannot, but those who will not. Those who are perfectly satisfied to let somebody else do the work and to obtain everything they can get by whatever means they can get it. Sometimes it takes the form of stealing, taking something from another that is not rightfully one's own. Sometimes it takes the form of accepting that which is handed out when it is not deserved. But whatever the situation, we need to recognize that God has always placed his blessing upon the idea of work, an honest day's work for an honest day's pay is a principle that is given to us throughout the entire Word of God. Then, when one obtains some part of earthly possessions, there has to be a decision as to how it will be used. Even you smaller boys and girls who may receive an allowance from dad or mother, or maybe you do something in chores to earn something for yourself, must then make a decision as to how that will be used. And parents are using wisdom when they start early with their youngsters in helping them to think through the process and to make the right decision. Even in the story of Ananias and Sapphira, the Bible says, while you owned it, wasn't it yours? After you sold it, wasn't it yours? Didn't you have the right to make the decision about what you would do with it? You see, their problem was not owning a possession. Their problem was not in selling the possession. Their problem was not in having the ability to decide how much of it would be used in different areas. Their problem was covetousness, wanting to be praised for something they did not do by suggesting that they had given more than they had given, and lying not only to God and man, but to the Holy Spirit, as indicated in that passage. Their problem was in the decision that they made about how to use that which they had as income. God tells us very clearly in 1 Corinthians 4:2 that we are stewards, and we are to be faithful as stewards. That basically says what was said there in 1 Timothy, that we brought nothing into this world and we'll take nothing with us. It basically says, the bottom line of it, folks, is that you and I don't really own anything. And that's a sobering thought. We don't really own anything. We are stewards of that which God has entrusted to us. And therefore, we must make decisions. Oh, if we could just get us all to realize how important it is to take some time and give some thought to making decisions about how we use that which we have. And I think there is a tendency sometimes for us to say, at least subconsciously, well, if I had $1 million, I'd do all of this and I'd make all these decisions. I like the little poem that says it's not so much what we'd do if $1 million became our lot as what we're doing now with $1.25 we got. And if it is just $1.25, and sometimes that may be in the realm of what some of you youngsters have an allowance and what you have to deal with, if it's just $1.25, we still need to realize that we are stewards of that and we are to make the right decisions. I have the right and the responsibility to make a decision of how much of my income I will give back to God. There's not a one of you in this audience who has the right to tell me that. The elders, having the oversight of my soul, might give me some guidance, and anyone might make a suggestion, but I've got to make that final decision for myself, and so have you. And folks, this is what we're trying to get across. Even when we talk about our giving, we talk about our budget, we talk about our contribution, that each one of us has the right and the responsibility to make that decision. We have to decide to pay our taxes. Do I like to do that? No. Do I ever expect to like to do that? No. Am I appreciative that I have the opportunity, the freedom? Yes. And I need to pay my taxes just like anyone else. The indication in 1 Timothy 5:8 is there's to be provision for one's family. And therefore, the ones in charge of the leadership of that family is going to have to make some decisions. How much do I have to use to take care of the basic needs of my family? There's an indication that we are to invest. At least the story of the talents indicates that, in looking ahead to the future. And it just makes common sense for parents to think about college education, to think about retirement. We may sometimes run this into the ground. We may take it too far. But I believe there are biblical principles for this. But the point that I want you to see is that each one of us is going to have to make some decisions along that line. We're dealing with decisions on a daily basis relative to money matters, relative to material possessions. And when we slow down long enough to really realize how important this is and what we're dealing with in this life and in preparation for the life to come, I think we'll be able to put money matters and other things in proper support, in proper focus, to where we take care of the support of our families, our obligations, paying our debts. God expects one who makes a vow to pay, Ephesians 5:4, and God calls one who won't do that a fool. And yet we live at a time when seemingly bankruptcy is promoted instead of being used as a last resort and used in a way to help someone come out from under debt. We've got to get back to accepting our obligations and realize the decisions that we have to make. And it means that each one of us is going to have to be involved in managing material things instead of letting material things manage us. And honestly, isn't that what we're allowing ourselves to do many times? That we're allowing the material things to manage us and guide our decisions instead of using that. Who is the master involved? Are we, with God's help, willing to take charge and with whatever we have, with God's help, make the right decisions, make responsible decisions, honest decisions, keeping everything in proper focus? Are we going to let what's happening in the world around us dictate what we do to where material things manage us and control us and become our God? We're not talking about dollars and cents as much as we're talking about sense, S-E-N-S-E, common sense, and biblical sense that will help us to face money matters. As I indicated earlier, the events of the last day and events that have happened many times in the last little while have caused me to back off a little bit and say, what really does matter in life? What makes a difference? What's important? Am I allowing my time to be consumed by those things that won't make a difference 100 years from now? And maybe not taking the time and the effort to think about those things that will make a difference in an eternity from now. I will guarantee you, if we can get the point across we're talking about this morning and have the right attitude toward material things, that our work of the church will take care of itself. Our giving will be fine. Our benevolent work, our mission work, all of this will be fine if somehow or other we can back off and see this as much as is humanly possible from God's vantage point. And that's not easy. And put some things in focus to where we realize what life is about and what things are about. I really think, folks, the bottom line is we are allowing ourselves to concentrate on things instead of God and our Lord Jesus Christ. We need to pray for each other. We need to pray for ourselves. We need to work on this. This is not easy. But it is vital that we have the right attitude toward material matters and keep things in proper focus. And really, the only way to do that is to do it as a Christian, a real Christian, a real follower of Jesus Christ. Because you see, if we are really following Christ and we're focused on heaven and that's our goal, that's really our goal, it will help us, perhaps more than anything else, to put all these things in life in proper focus in looking toward that goal. Take a look at yourself this morning. I challenge you, take a look at yourself, at your attitude toward material things, and your attitude toward God. Have you really given yourself to God? I don't mean in some mysterious way. I mean in a dedicated way of obedience. Have you really given yourself to God? Some of you need to come and confess the name of Christ and be baptized for the remission of sins and become a Christian. And perhaps there's some who need to repent, maybe all of us in some ways, maybe some publicly, and ask for forgiveness. May God help us to put things in proper focus and follow Him. If you need to do that by coming, do so as together we stand and sing.
Count that all may cleansed be in thy once opened fount. I bring them, Savior, all to thee.